produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hey, everybody. It is Carla Olds, a.k.a. Rev O, and I want to thank you all so, so very much for joining us today, this evening, this afternoon, this morning, wherever you are in the world. We are just so, so grateful and so thankful that you thought it not robbery to spend a little time with us this morning. So I have a special guest. Very, very special guest. Her name is missionary, sister, evangelist, prophetess, all of those words, Chanel Monique Mitchell. Now, I met Sister Mitchell on Facebook, in a Facebook business group. But how do you know? You know that things do not happen by accident. This was not a chance meeting. I thoroughly believe it was a divine appointment. And today we're going to continue our study on the power of re. And so within Sister Mitchell's story, we're going to go back after she tells us her wonderful story, gives us her beautiful testimony. We're going to go back and we're going to apply some of our re-words to Sister Mitchell's testimony. But before we get started, let us go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you, Lord God, we just want to tell you thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, your peace, your love, your joy, your mercy, Lord God. We just thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for the ways that you have made for us. We thank you for Lady Josie Hopkins and Lady Kayla Pratt, Lord God, in the vision that you have given them and put in their hearts to deliver your word all over the world. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, Sister Mitchell, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Girl, we can hear you. We can hear you. So Sister Mitchell and I actually met maybe about 5 or 6, maybe even 7 years ago. We were trying to figure out how long we had known each other. And we just communicated via Facebook for a while. She went through some things, and I was praying for her. I went through some things. She was praying for me. And finally, one day, we were able to meet in person. Oh, my goodness. What a blessing it was. Just to actually lay eyes on her, lay hands on her, be able to hug her and squeeze her tight. It felt like two old friends meeting each other or seeing each other after a long time. So I am so thankful and so grateful for our friendship and just for her love. So, Sister Chanel, tell us your story. I'm so excited.
But first, I want to thank you. I'm honored to be on with you today. I am so, you've blessed my life. You've been a true friend to me, regardless of everything that I've gone through in my life. You've always, like you said, you've always knew when to pray, when to reach out to me, and you need people like that in your life that are genuinely, genuinely there for you. So I do thank you for everything that you've done and everything that you continue to do. You know, God has a blessing with your name on it for paying it forward like that. And
like you said,
we've known each other for years, and it's like sisters when you talk, and we could talk for a little while, but when we come back together, it's just like we never left, and that's what true friendship is. It's like we could call each other. I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray for me. We instantly go into prayer. You know. And that's what it's about. That's what that the kingdom of God is about. And so I do appreciate you, and I'm honored to be called your friend and know you and have crossed paths with you. But like you said, I have a story, you know, and we are overcome by the words of our testimony. So, you know, starting my journey hasn't been easy, but it's been worth it. And I have to say, you know, from starting as a little girl being the oldest child of two children my mother had, growing up as the second oldest grandchild, you know, of my grandma who was, you know, blind. And she was physically blind, but she always taught us how to cook, cut potatoes, snap peas, clean fish. She taught us everything that we need to know to learn how to survive this thing we call life. But as growing
wait,
up.
Wait. You know, Sister Mitchell, we got to preface something. We got to preface something. When you're talking about snapping peas and peeling potatoes and cleaning fish, we got to make sure that people know we're from North Carolina.
Yes, North Carolina.
That's what you do at Grandma's house in North Carolina. Shell peas. Yes, it's shell peas, snap beans.
I'll
pick tomatoes, peel potatoes, clean fish.
Yes,
all of
clean
that.
Fish.
All of
yes.
That. Yes.
And gut it. You have to gut it. You have to cut it down the middle and take the guts out and scale the fins off of it. You have fins when you come from up out of there. You have fins on.
That's right. And you know what? That might be what's wrong with these children today. They never had to gut a fish.
They never smell like fish. They
You gut the fish on Friday, and it'll be Sunday evening, and you still smell a little fishy on your
finger. You salt it, and you season it, and you fry that fish, and that's the best fish fry you ever had in your life. Is that good fish?
Yes. So it started with Grandma, and let's go from Grandma.
Well, with Grandma, you know, my mother worked two jobs to provide for us, me and my brother, and she was married but then got divorced, and she became a single mother. And being a single mother back in the day was kind of hard because you had to have somebody to watch your kids while you worked. And, you know, and Grandma's house was where we always went to. And Grandma's house had over 19, 20, 22 people in there. It was never a dull moment in Grandma's house. But, you know, dealing with Grandma's house, we had all different type of characters. We had different, you know, spirits that people were fighting with, alcoholism, you know, smoking drugs, from sexual, it was all kinds of things that, you know, as a young girl, I had to fight living in, going to Grandma's house. But you understand, God don't take you through something for no reason. He takes you through it because he know that the battle he gives you, you can handle. But growing up, it was in Grandma's house, my, you know, family, they were the best family. They knew how to be but I don't take nothing away from them, and I'll talk bad about them. But they had people that came around that, you know, me being a young girl, would try to touch and molest and try to do things that, you know, I didn't know what they were doing, but I knew it wasn't right. I knew it wasn't right. And when, you know, you try to tell the family most of the time try to sweep it up under the rug because they don't want the law to come in and take the kids away. They don't want the kids to go to a foster home. But that was traumatizing to a young girl and like me that didn't know what was going on. And so that caused me to rebel. That caused me to fight. That was when I first learned how to fight. Was when things like that started happening to me in my life. I fought back because I was like, get off me. Don't touch me. I would talk back. And people would wonder why I was so bad and I was such a good girl growing up until the age of 12. And then my mother ended up having a boyfriend that moved in with her, you know, and she didn't even know that he was this way, but he used to watch pornography, and my mom used to have to go to work, and she left me home one day at 13, and he raped me and took my virginity. And at that moment right there, I felt like my soul, my life, my everything was ripped away from me. And right then, I started rebelling. I started running away from home. I started looking for somebody to save me, and I knew the Lord. My grandma used to always talk, you know, take us to church and, you know, listen to gospel music and tell us how good God is, but nobody had protected me against that. Nobody stopped that, and I didn't tell anybody because everybody kept saying, she grown, she a spaz, she called for it. She probably, you know, invited it. And right then, South Dakota, that's when my whole life changed forever. That right there was the most traumatizing thing that ever happened to me besides my, you know, family, you know, doing things and having people over. But to take a young girl's virginity, and I never got to choose or let my husband or, you know, let the person that I love, you know, let my husband take it. You know, I didn't take it, but give it to him. And and right then, it was that shattered me. That shattered me.
Wow.
That shattered me forever. You know, and I still had to, you know, I end up running away from home. I end up leaving and going to live with my my uncle. We didn't have, one of my uncles had got killed by his wife, so there was only two of them, and she killed him and left him on the side of the road at a railroad crossing. Her and her boyfriend plotted and killed him, and it was just, we went through the trial. She got off, but the boyfriend served 25 years. And, you know, and that affected me because me and my uncles was like my life. They was like the ones that I knew had my back. I can do no bad in their eyes. And so they was like a daddy, a father figure to me. And so losing him was hurtful. So I went to go live with one of my uncles in Atlanta. And as I'm living in Atlanta with him, going to school, he has a huge house with a pool in the back, with a basement, 5 bedrooms. He took us in. He gets killed in a car accident by his girlfriend that he was cheating on his wife with. So,
oh, no.
Yes, so I'm like, who do I have? Everybody is just going, like, leaving. And after that, I had to go back to North Carolina and face this trauma, this thing that I've been through with this man. And thank God my mother had found out because I told my auntie about it, and she ended up leaving him, but not before he kidnapped my brother And when he kidnapped my brother, I don't know what he could have done to my brother. I pray it was nothing, that my brother was never harmed or touched. But I had to go back home and face that. And facing that, I still went back to the same chaos at Grandma House, 19 people. People in and out, people smoking, doing drugs, people don't want to change, you know, people having cussing and fussing. And that chaos, like, was, I was at peace not being around it. But going back into it, it made me have to go back into a survival fight mode. And my auntie, my uncle's house, I didn't have to worry about a thing. He protected me. He did not play. He kept me in order. But when I went back home, I had to go back to that same chaos, that same fight, that same spirit that I was trying to fight off of me, the same molestation, the same sexual assault. I mean, it was so much to fight as a young girl. And, you know, and then I end up running to my baby father, my daughter's father. I end up having a baby at 16. What he told me was, he said, I'm going to protect you. And that was what I was looking for. That's all that that's all he had to say was, he's going to protect me and make sure nobody ever hurt me again. And I ended up getting pregnant. I was pregnant at 15, had my baby at 16. And as I had a baby at 16, my grandma never turned her back. Everybody else talked bad. Everybody else discouraged. Everybody else told me I'd never be anything. They told me that my life was over because I had a daughter at 16. And I didn't believe in abortion. I didn't believe in going in and killing a child, because the God in me said, no, that's not the right way to try to hide what I've done, hide my sin. And so I'm having her and having to drop out of school and work two jobs to provide for her, because my family, they you know, my mom working two jobs already. You know, I had to drop out of school and try to help her, try to help myself, actually. And, you know, taking care and raising my daughter completely changed my life. But also it taught me is how to be a strong woman, you know, and not let anything stop me, to not let anything shake me. Because if I came through all of that, I could come through and be being a single mom, because her father kept getting locked up and in and out of jail. And he wasn't much. What he told me was, I'll be there. But he did help me once he got stable, raise her, because when I ended up, you know, a couple of years later, getting sick with diagnosed with lupus and going into the hospital with 50-50 chance of living and almost losing my mind, he took her. And because the doctors came in and told him, he's like, they told her, my daughter in front of my daughter, and said, your mother has a 50-50 chance of living. I don't think that she's going to live past tonight. And my daughter heard that and went completely ballistic and lost her mind. And as that happened,
what year was that?
That was when she was, I think it was 11 or 12.
You were in your 20s.
Yep, I was in my 20s.
Okay.
Yep, I was in my 20s and found out I had been diagnosed with lupus, ITP, and a sickle cell trait, which is all blood disorder. It's all the blood. It has to deal with the blood and my immune system. Not knowing what it was, I just started praying. I lost my house. I had a job. I was working a good job for over 5 years. I lost my car. I lost my mind. As I'm losing, you know, all these things, I found Christ. And I asked him, I said, if you help me and you heal me and you deliver me from this, I will forever praise your name. And that night, I truly gave my life to Christ in the hospital bed. on my deathbed. They told me it was no chance. It was 50-50 chance of me making it to the next day. I gave him my life, and I told him I will forever, forever promote, and I will forever, forever say, you know, tell everybody the goodness of God and all he's done for me. Then that next day, I woke up, and the doctors was amazed at what had happened with me, that I lived. And I started progressing. I started getting better. I started, you know, doing videos about how God has changed me, how God has saved me, how God has, you know, having words of faith that I will live and not die, that I, by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. I started speaking the word of God. I started saying these things. I said, no, sickness and disease can't dwell in my body. I'm a child of the Most High God. He gave me a new beginning that night and changed me. And I have been changed forever from that night. And so as I'm doing that, let me just tell you, you know, we all go through things, and I'm going through that, and I'm getting better. I end up a couple of years later getting into a relationship. I don't even know how I was desperate. I had lost everything. I was vulnerable. And I let some man come into my life and tell me, you know what, you know, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you everything you want. But he wasn't walking the path of righteousness. He wasn't on the straight and narrow path. And so I got led with him down the wrong path. And one night, as we had been together for almost 8 months, and I seen him, you know, have little issues and things like that, and I'm like, something ain't right. And one night I told him, I said, I don't want to go to a party. I know it's your cousin's party, but he was drunk and I couldn't say no, so I had to go to the party. And he ended up getting drunk, and as he's getting drunk, I'm in the car with him. He's going 100 miles an hour down the highway, and my cousin had got killed in a car accident, you know, a couple of years before that when I was in the hospital. She told me before she got killed, she was like, I'm going to come and see you. The next day I heard she died in a car accident. She was supposed to come home, and everything flashed before my eyes in that car about my cousin. So I asked him, I said, let me out. Please let me out this car. He let me out the car, but as he let me out the car on Capitol Boulevard, he ended up chasing me down Capitol Boulevard. Who you going with? Who you going with? Another man? You going to leave me to go with another man? And his insecure, I was like, no. I'm trying to get away from him. So trying to get away from him made him even more angrier and mad. So he ended up beating me and leaving me in the middle of Capitol Boulevard in the, you know, lane that they're driving up to get on 440. And the fact that he beat me, he left me, he took my hair, my good hair, he took my pocketbook, he took my phone, he left me with nothing in the middle of the road. And as he left me there crying and stunned that he would do this to me, a man came and helped me out of the middle of the road right before oncoming traffic came. And right then, I knew that I had to change my life. I had to get away from that demon. And I end up getting a ride to his uncle's house, and his uncle was like, well, why did you make him mad and blaming everything on me? And it's no reason why a man should put his hands on you. I don't care how mad they should get. They shall get. No, I feel like they blame everything on me. And let me just tell you, it took a minute for me to come back from that. I went home to my mom's house because me and him was living together. And I got myself together. I told everybody about the story. 2-3 days later, he ended up being in a car accident in the car. He ran into the back of somebody. The engine ended up on the passenger side of the car where I would have been sitting. And they said I would have been dead if I was in that car. Now, the only thing was I had the car in, put the car on with full coverage. So he got settlement check for more than the car was worth. He also got, you know, they paid for their car. So I did all his insurance and all his, you know, important documents. And so he had to call me to be able to, you know, find out all the stuff about the car, how to get the money, how to, you know, deposit the checks and everything. He had to call me. So me being a crazy one, thinking, okay, let me help him. You know, don't be like that. End up going back. Why did I go back? Why did I go back? And some of us women, we go back. Some women go back and never come out of it. They never return because they end up in debt. And I've seen that because we went out to go eat for his birthday, and he ended up hitting me and knocking me out the car. And because I said, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I don't want to, you know, do this. I don't want to be here. And he hit me and knocked me out the car. And then right there, that's when I drew the line. I said,
and that's
God
when
just
what
raised
happened?
Me. Huh?
And that's when, right then, what happened?
I drew the line. I knew it was
Yo,
time
you drew
for
the
me
line.
To go.
Okay, okay.
I drew the line, Pastor Carla. I said, you know what? This ain't the type. God didn't bring me through lupus to survive a 50-50 chance in the hospital, to survive, you know, them telling me I wasn't going to live, to go through this, to be treated like this. This is not the plan that
That's
God
right.
has for
That's
me.
Right.
And right
That's
then,
right. That's right.
I packed. I waited because I knew he would be mad if I say I want to go home or leave. And I let him leave. He had got another car. The car was in my name. The bank account was in my name. Everything was in my name. And so I took everything and I left. I took my clothes in my car. I took the car. I took everything and I left. And I left to go to Virginia. And ever since then, I've never turned back. I don't answer the call. I don't talk. I don't have a Facebook connection with him. I am not connected with his family. I do not have anything associated with him because sometimes the enemy will send a little a distraction or somebody in to try to get in, to try to get you to get those feelings back that you had for that person when that person wasn't good for you. So I cut off every lifeline that was connected with him. And then I would just tell you my life started flourishing. My life changed.
Yes.
And I got here in Virginia.
Well, that sounds good. And there's one thing that I like about your story or your testimony is that being able to see it from the outside, I just remember bits and pieces of it when we would communicate. So being actually sitting here and listening to the story as it unfolded, it hurt. You know, as your friend, it hurt. And but it's, you are in a totally different place mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God has just been able to, you were able to just, you allowed God to just pluck you up out of that situation and remove you and move you into a better place. And I know that the move to Virginia was not easy, but I'm just so proud of you. Being able to do it, without, without having to have him in consideration, and you could just go ahead and do it on your own. Because a lot of women aren't able to be, one of our words, resilient, and go through a situation like that and come out on top.
Yeah. And you said, God will put people in your life, because moving to Virginia, I met a girl on Facebook who offered me to come stay at her house, and I didn't know her. Like, me and you met on Facebook. I didn't know her from Adam or Eve, and I trusted her, and I knew I couldn't go back. So I knew I didn't know what I was going to do, and she said, you know what, stay up here with me. I'm going to let you stay with me for 6 months until you get your life on track. And I stayed with a complete stranger for 6 months with her and her family and her kids. She gave me a room with a bathroom, we walked, we talked. She was like the angel, God sent angel to me, because she was the reason I was able to get stable up here and didn't charge me no rent, but I would pay her. And she was like, no, I don't want that. God told me to do this to you.
Yeah. Well, I just am so proud of you. Now we're going to switch gears, and we're going to bounce off of that situation onto the Chanel Monique, the businesswoman. Tell us what you have. Tell us all what you have brewing.
Yes, well, when I was in North Carolina, I was normally always at supporting my sisters, buying their books and, speaking at their events and hosting their events as well, being a host at their events. And so that brought, I already had, ChanelMonique.com, which is my brand. I basically do speaking, I do coaching, I do mentoring, I volunteer for different organizations. I have my own Fight for Lupus organization that I am CEO of, and that is...
Now, wait, let's stop with the Fight for Lupus. Tell us about that, because I remember right around the time that you started it, and it is an official 501c3 nonprofit.
Not
correct?
Yet. It's an LLC.
Not
it's
quite. Okay.
Yeah, it's going, it's getting there. You got to understand, when you're doing business, you got to know who to put in authority over your business, because with a nonprofit, you have to have different board members. And if you get the wrong board members, they can overthrow you and kick you out your own organization. So
now that's what we don't want.
Most people don't know that, though. Most people are naive to they will put people in order, and if those people don't come together and they vote you out, that's not your organization no more. And
exactly.
I'm taking the proper steps and putting the right people that I can trust in charge of something that's so delicate and so, I'm so passionate about, And so it's coming together.
It's coming together. So tell us about the Fight for Lupus. What's the mission? What's the vision? Tell us what you have with the Fight for Lupus.
Well, the Fight for Lupus is everybody heard that I was diagnosed with lupus over 9 years ago. And everybody heard how I was working a job over 5 years, at the job, top producers, doing everything they asked me to do, and they called me and terminated my position while I was in the hospital. And Fight for Lupus, and I lost my car, my house. I couldn't afford medication. I couldn't get Medicaid because I was living with my mom, and she made too much money to qualify for Medicaid because I was living with her. So they had to count her income. And so I couldn't afford to get my medications, and I met doctors that ended up letting me come to their practice for free. They would give me my medication for free. And so I bonded a relationship with those doctors in UNC, in Raleigh, at the rheumatoid office. I bonded a relationship with all of them. I kept their cards for years and kept in contact with them. And so Fight for Lupus is an organization that helps women rebound, like you said, and recover from their illness or their flare-up with lupus, that some that don't have financial help, if they need it, because lupus, they don't give you financial help for lupus. And to get disability, it's extremely hard to get disability with lupus because they feel like you'll bounce back. You should be able to recover. And so Fight for Lupus is an organization that provides financial help, that provide any kind of medications, connections to doctors. And soon the vision is to have a facility or a hotel type of I can't say retreat, or I could say a hotel type of hospitality home for women that are recovering from their hospital stay that their family can't, you know, deal with. My daughter is a personal care assistant that she'll be able to go in and see about them, make sure they got that. I got a CNA that's with RNN. I got people that's going to volunteer to just be there for the women that I have in that home and help me bring them back, get them financial help, to get them any kind of training that they need for education, for so they could be secure when they come out of there. They'll have a job or have a career or be an entrepreneur, have a business. I have people that are going to help me be able to get the medications that they need, teach me. You know, I have so many people that are coming together with me, and congressmen and senators up here that have seen me volunteer that want to contribute to what I'm doing. And so that's the vision, is to help women restore them, let them recover, restore them, and to let them be able to, you know, be resilient and come back from, bounce back from this lupus thing.
Wow. I'm just excited. I'm excited because you're excited. and just listening to you talk about, what God has given you to move forward, you know, and the ideas that you have and the people that you've already begun to put in place, I am just so excited for you. And so excited about that. So if we need to get in contact with you, we got to back up. We got to back up. We did not discuss the weight loss, ma'am. Tell us about the weight, and then the weight loss and the process about how you lost the weight.
Yes. Well, back when I was in the hospital, when they gave me a 50-50 chance of living, they told me also that I couldn't move my bowels, and they was going to have to give me a colostomy bag. And I said, the devil is a liar. I'm not, God, give me all the enemas, give me all the
whatever you got, just give it to me.
Colonoscopy. They done a rhinoscope where they went down my throat to see what was wrong, why I couldn't digest and go to the restroom. So as I'm in the hospital bed, I start instantly praying again. I said, Lord, listen, I'm calling on you. Only you can fix this. And I looked online and I seen lose 5 pounds, 5 days, gentle, easy, go to the bathroom. And I was like, is that you, God? Is that you telling me a sign? One of my friends. And I ordered it with my last $40. And I said, you know what, God? I researched it. I was doing research online. Every medicine they gave me was, I was on 50 different medications at that time. Every medicine they gave me was 50.
50? You said 50?
I was on 50 different medications at that time.
Oh, my goodness.
Because they didn't know how to handle what I was diagnosed with, because it was a combination of blood disorders and immune disorders. So they couldn't, without treating one, they'll flare up the other, you know. And so it was hard for them to try to figure out how to treat me. So they had gave me all the medications, and my stomach couldn't take it. I couldn't take nothing. Their medicines made me sicker and sicker. So I had to try something, and I said, you know what, back in the day when I was young, my granny used to put an onion under my feet to drain the fever, and she used to give us turmeric and garlic for colds and to help us with our immune system. So I know that it's something that it can help me that's natural, that I don't have to take all these medicines. And so when I seen it, I said, you know what, I'm going to give it a try. Either I try I live and try, or I die try. I mean, I didn't mm-hmm. have a choice. And so as I'm taking the medicine, I gained so much weight from prednisone, steroids, and being in the hospital on different medications. I said, you know what? I started using it. I started seeing myself, and I still use it to this day. I still, it's the truth. You will go to the restroom. If you have irritable bowel symptoms, constipation, irritable bowel syndrome, IBS, or if you have any issues in your gut, because your gut is where the immune system is.
That's right.
The majority of your immune system is, and if I can clean my gut and keep bacteria out of my gut, it'll help me have a healthy immune system. And so I start losing the weight. I start seeing the weight fall off.
How much were you at your highest?
I was at almost 215 pounds.
Okay.
Yep. I was supposed to be 130, 150.
Well, pray.
You know. I was supposed to be 150. I was supposed to be that 215, 220. That imagine what that did to me though. My mind used to be mental. I used to have so many, you know, mental issues, and they put me on Sertraline, and I was like, I'm not gonna take this medicine. This medicine made me feel worse than. Which is Zoloft, Sertraline, Zoloft. Mm-hmm. You know, it can make me worse. They're calling me crazy.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Say what now?
I said the weight started coming off. I end up losing the weight.
And it just started coming off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is just fabulous. Just fabulous. And I am going to tell you all another little secret. Miss Chanel Monique also does celebrity style hair. I love to, when she would come on with different style hair, different color hair. I just love it. Absolutely love it. So, from a business perspective, she has positioned herself to have multiple streams of income. And remember, this is a young lady who had a baby at 16, had experienced several close deaths before she was 16, had a baby at 16, and also was left on the side of the road, really, with mm-hmm. no phone, no purse, no nothing. And now God has allowed you to just bounce back, rebound, and recover, as you said, not only to where you were, but to surpass where you were. And you have your multiple streams of income. We talked a little bit earlier. Her daughter is actually with her now, so that is a blessing.
Yeah.
So it's just a great thing. And you're doing your coaching. Your ministry is growing. And we have Women Wednesdays, right, on Facebook.
Well, Women Wednesday. I highlight the women that are doing, you know, like you said, being resilient, that are uplifting, that are motivating, that are have businesses, because I feel like I need to give back, and that's a way of giving back. Is me not? I could talk about me all day, but when you help and edify and uplift others, you watch what God do for you.
That's right.
And you got to get on
exactly
there, Ms.
Right.
Carla, Pastor Carla, Wednesday when you free, because you got your book, you got your show, you got so many great things going on. I need you to bring that blessing on there.
Well, we're going to have to pick a Wednesday. Look, we had to set aside today, too. So, I just want to thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for allowing us to hear your testimony. And this has just been wonderful. But before we go, we're going to pray. Oh, give us your contact information. Give us your website. yeah, give us your website in case people want to reach out.
Okay. Well, you know, Chanel Monique, ShanelMonique.com is my website. And then I'm on Facebook as Chanel Monique Mitchell, MITCHELL, two L's. I'm on Instagram at slash Chanel, ShanaiL underscore Monique, MONICK. And I'm on YouTube. Go follow me for and subscribe for different type of motivational, inspirational videos about my journey and how I became and came to this point in my life. And so, you know, you can reach me also through Pastor Carla, too. But I'm always answering my email. Chanel Monique on Facebook. I have a business page. So, listen, get in contact with me. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Go and follow me on Instagram. Listen, I love to connect with everyone. Not just I connect with everyone.
Well, fantastic, fantastic. We're going to pray out. And thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you so, so much. Heavenly Father, as we come to you right now, oh God, God, we just thank you for a little bit of time that two of your maidservants had to spend together and with your people, Lord God. God, we ask that you just touch, heal, anoint, and deliver everyone that is under the sound of my voice right now, oh God. God, go to the far places of the earth, Lord God. Touch those people who need to be touched, Lord God. God, right now, 2020 for some people have brought nothing but destruction and pain, Lord God. God, I ask right now that you touch the people who are going through the feelings of destruction and the feelings of pain, Lord God. Just touch them right now with your finger of love, Lord God. Hide them behind the cross, Lord God. Hide them behind your cross, Lord God. God, your word says you came not to, the enemy came to kill, to steal, and to destroy, but you came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, Lord God. God, help us to walk in the abundance that you have provided for us. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for Kayla Pratt, Lord God. Kayla Padgett, continue to touch Kayla as she delivers your word to your people in the far places, in the highways and the byways, Lord God. Continue to allow her to use what you have given her to progress into the future, Lord God, to forge ahead, Lord God. God, we thank you for Josie Hopkins and Josie Inspirations as well, Lord God. Continue to give Josie vision as well as she moves forward, Lord God. God, and we ask for a special blessing and special protection over Chanel Monique Mitchell, Lord God. God, your word says we are overcome by our testimony, Lord God. And I hope that other people who have heard her today, Lord God, are able to stop and are able to leave and to rebound from where they are or where they were, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, ma'am, and I will talk with you soon.
Okay, thank you. Let me know when it airs so I can promote it, and you know how we do.
Yes, ma'am. Love you, girl.
All right, you have a good day. I'm finna go eat.
You too. All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.